Okay, so our next speaker is Vicky McCracken. She's a professor in the School of Economic Sciences at WSU with a focus on agricultural systems and crops. And she teaches econometrics and data analysis. And Vicky is a member of Rosebreed's socioeconomics team. And will be talking to us today about one of the two major roles that the socioeconomics team had in the project. And one was about the, which is not the one she's going to be talking about here, but about the cost-benefit analysis of DNA-informed breeding applications, especially micro-assisted seedling selection. And the other aspect then is what she'll be talking about here. So the trade-offs between disease resistance and fruit quality, as those were the two major needs, stakeholder needs, and focuses of our project. So it's all well and good to work on both of them, but in reality there's always compromises that need to be made here. So the socioeconomists put some science behind these choices. Okay, Vicky?
Well, I'm pleased to be here today. I could be in Atlanta, Georgia with the other ag economists on the project are at our meetings in Atlanta, so I joined the Hort people here in Las Vegas. I'm not sure which was the better choice, but so far this has been a good choice. So anyways, three parts to what I'm going to talk about today. First is to justify the need to understand the trade-offs that growers make. Second is to talk about the experiments that we actually conducted in order to get the results, which are then talked about in the third part of my presentation. So the problem, as Amy has described it well, rosacea crop growers are challenged to grow cultivars that are disease resistant, yet meet the fruit quality needs of the various supply chain members. And when I say supply chain members, individuals beyond the grower level through the final consumers, packers, shippers, retailers, final consumers. And breeders face the task of developing new cultivars that effectively combine production and consumer-oriented traits. They have to have a variety or a cultivar that satisfies both needs. And the question that we're addressing in this part of the Rosebreed project is which traits are more important to peach and strawberry growers. Lots of different crops in the project, but only those two crops for this presentation. So the assumption in Rosebreed, and I completely agree with it, is we use stakeholder input, and the justification is that the impact of new cultivars will be optimized if stakeholders and breeders agree on the genetic potential of new cultivar candidates to meet the industry needs. So lots of stuff here. You've seen these kinds of graphs and slides in Amy's, and you'll see them probably in others. I really want to focus on the research team. We've done several different things. I'm going to focus on the trade-offs here, but some of the other members of the research team, Chenyan, Karina, Vance worked with us a lot on strawberries, Ksenia on peach, Greg on peach, and then Jim McPherson, your pitcher isn't here, but Jim was an important part of the SE team from the very beginning of the project. So I want to, are you? Jim Luby also. Both Jims are going to be talking. They're the Jims that are a key part of the SE team throughout the entire project. The other person who is critical to the presentation that I'm giving today is one of our graduate students who just completed her PhD this May, Zongyu Li. And Zongyu just took a job at the Louisiana State Department of Health. She's also a data analyst, and she does data analytics for them. But anyways, this is Karina and me putting her at graduation, and if you'll notice the head in the back right next to my head, Cameron ended up in every person's picture, I think, for PhD hooding this semester. So I had to show this picture for multiple reasons. Anyways, lots of crops in Rosebreed. We're focusing here on two crops and two particular regions of the country. Southeastern U.S. peaches, 15% of total U.S. production issues, fungal diseases due to sandy soil and hot, humid climate, mean diseases faced, and the consumption situation for peaches are that U.S. fresh consumption has been on the downtrend since the 1980s. In 1980, per capita consumption was about 6 pounds per person per year, and in 2014 it was 3 pounds. So it's fallen dramatically. On the other hand, the other crop we've looked at, Florida strawberries, again, small part, but the second major producer, strawberries, 7.5% of total U.S. production. Production issues, fruit quality variation, methylbromide phase-out, pest and disease control and Mexican imports. And the consumption situation for strawberries is quite different than for peaches. U.S. fresh consumption's on the uptrend. It was about 2 pounds per person fresh consumption in 1980, and it's up to about 8 pounds per person. So again, facing very different market demand situations. So what did we do? What is our research? What do economists do to address questions like this? And so what we did was we conducted what we call economic experiments that allow us to investigate how growers value specific disease resistance traits versus relevant fruit quality traits. We collect information on socioeconomic and demographic information about the growers and their production units. We do both of those through surveys. And then the statistical analysis that we use are mixed logit models that are based on the assumption that growers value traits that increase their profits and other things. But that's sort of the foundation of our assumption. So the data that we used was a survey of randomly selected peach growers in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia in 2016. We used the well-accepted Dillman TDM method. We had 33 complete observations, but each observation gives us multiple data points that we analyze. We also collected more data in 2018, but I'm only going to talk about the 2016 because they're very different production years, before and after freeze. And similar approach for the Florida strawberries, and we ended up with 37 complete observations. Again, a lot more data points. So when I think about our experiments, one of the things that we had to do to create our experiments is to work with various industry members to come up with the attributes that we need, that we wanted to look at, and then the level of the attributes that we wanted to look at. And so down the first column, the attributes for peach that we considered in our experiment were diameter in increments of 0.25, external fruit color ranging from 50% red blush, 75, and 100% brown rot resistance score, where zero lower meant susceptible, 10 meant resistant. So we had three different levels, 0 to 2, 3 to 7, and then greater than 7. And then the economics comes in terms of the licensing cost, one-time fee per tree, $1, $2, and $3 per tree. So what we did was we used that information to create these choice scenarios. And so in our survey, each grower is given different scenarios. They're asked to pick option A, option B, or option C as they're considering to pick a new cultivar to grow in their orchard. And so, for example, this scenario here, you can think of all the combinations of the attributes and the levels in the prior chart. We come up with all the different scenarios. We eliminate the ones that make no sense, you know, for us to be having growers look at. And then we randomly assign growers. And in the peach case, we gave them 6 different scenarios for each harvest season. So we had early, mid, and late harvest season. So that generated, 6 times 3, 18 data points for each of the observations that we had. And so we would ask the grower, would you rather have option A, option B, or you choose neither option A or B? And that's the data that we collected in addition to the socioeconomic data. Strawberries, similar kind of situation. The attributes that we looked at in the levels, percentage of plant loss from root and crown rot diseases prior to the first harvest, 0%, 5%, and 10%. Again, industry helped us come up with the attributes and the levels. The flavor, mid, mild, or weak, mild, neutral, and full intense. Size, so the number of fruits in a 1 pound clamshell, 15, 20, and 25. So as size increases, that's less valued. And cost of transplant plus royalty, dollars per 1,000 plants, 140, 150, and 160. And again, choice scenario for strawberry growers, you know, which Which of these would you prefer as you're considering a new cultivar, a variety to grow? Option A, 5% with weak mild, 20 fruits per clamshell at a cost of $140, or B, or neither. Again, for strawberries, there was not a season, and so we gave each grower 8 different scenarios. So what did we find? So I just threw up the 2018 data here, and Ksenia knows why we're just focusing on 2016, but in our total analysis, we're looking at both years. When we did the 2016, what you can see is from the your right-hand side of the screen, this is the number of acres per grower. This was smaller than the typical grower. And so our results for peaches that I'm presenting here probably represent more the smaller growers, not the larger growers in the industry. So some of the characteristics of the peach growers. One of the questions, one of the things we're trying to get at is also willingness to take risk and whether they use crop insurance to cover their production risk. And risk attitude, interesting, 0 to 10. 10 meant they felt self-assessment of risk, that they felt, more than less prepared to take on risk. When we did this in 2018, the risk value is a lot lower, probably because what they had faced was in the 17 season. 19 years in production, 50% of them had an educational level, at least a community 2-year degree, 149 acres, and that there's a decimal point off. I was looking at this last night, even after I sent you the results. This should be 320,000, not 3 million. 55% of their income came from peach production, and about half of their crop was covered by crop insurance. So lots of data used to estimate, lots of equations summarized in this willingness to pay graph. How you interpret these numbers, they're by early, mid, and late season. If it's not there, the coefficients weren't statistically significant, so we didn't do the calculations. The way you interpret that 1.83, which is the ratio of some of the coefficients from our mixed logit model, is that growers in the early season would be willing to pay $1.83 per tree to increase peach diameter by a quarter of an inch. The next one, brown rot resistance, to increase the resistance from not resistance to intermediate resistant, they would be willing to pay $2.54 per tree. To increase it to the top level, 3.92, so on and so forth. So that's how you interpret the results, and I'll give you a summary of the results. And it varied by season. Peach attributes, strawberry willingness to pay. Again, one season, the 76.9, and this is per dollars per thousand plants, to improve from extremely weak to extremely full intensive, they'd be willing to pay $76.9 per thousand plants. The negative on the size is because the larger size meant actually smaller fruit. So the summary is trade-offs, peach growers, and I have 1 minute, and strawberry is peach growers valued disease resistance more than fruit size and external color. Strawberry growers valued fruit flavor and size higher than disease resistance. And there's a lot of variation amongst the growers. And so that's what I mean by heterogeneous preferences for attributes. For peaches, it varied across seasons, real different results depending upon early, mid, and late season. And for strawberry growers, again, preferences varied across growers, and larger growers are more likely to grow new cultivars. They're willing to take the risk and to get the returns. And any questions? So the question is, why did the consumption of fresh peaches go down? Probably for the reason that we're doing this study is at least from the consumer level, and I've done a lot of work at the consumer level, it could have been inconsistent quality, you know, getting a peach that's you know, ready to consume at the time that they consume. And so the industry is doing a lot of work to address specifically that falling fresh peach consumption.
You mentioned the variability of the response for the peach because of what they experienced. And I was wondering if you took a long view and had 4 years of data on this, how much variability do you see? Because it seems like oftentimes growers are responding to immediate conditions and how they answer.
So the question is, would our results change if we looked over a longer period of time, say a four-year time period? And I think we would, because I think they would change a little bit. I think because of the shock, you know, to the peach industry. Was it 2016 or 2017? 17.
What we also was not good.
Yeah. So what we found in 2018. Demonstrated that, and that's why we thought we might be able to put the results together and just, you know, account for year differences, but there was a major shock. I do think growers, you know, understand that there's variabilities across years, and they try not to react so much to fads or something, you know, that they know is sort of a short-term shock. But I do think we would have had some different results, and if we could have collected this over time, if we could collect this over time, that would give us a more stable, you know, sort of conclusion.
Did you get an idea why larger growers are more likely to take risk on the varieties?
Some of it could be because they don't have the. So the question is, why did we find larger growers were more willing to accept new cultivars or to experiment with new cultivars? And some of that could be, we didn't ask how much of their land they were going to do that. So they might do it on a small amount of their land. And so they might only be risking, you know, if it's great, that's good. If it's not so good, they're not risking, you know, too much of their income.
Maybe time for one more quick question. Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.